Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with Rachel Bernstein and Alyssa Black, authors of the IBM Center Report, a guide for making innovation offices work. So, Alyssa, innovation-specific functions within government take a variety of structural forms reflecting available resources, intended goals, personnel preferences, political realities, and various other factors. I'd like to explore the six models you outlined in your report. First up would be to describe the laboratory model and perhaps highlight specific examples of such a model in action. What prompts a government executive to pursue the lab model?
We outlined a number of different structural models. The one that I think when we think about innovation, the one that probably comes to mind most often is a lab setting because it's most akin to the R&D function that we think of. And so often in innovation offices, these are pretty autonomous groups that are responsible for delivering new technologies, products, and programs that sometimes partner with other groups within an organization, but often are pretty autonomous. And a lot of times they're delivering either technologies or products or programs that are public facing. And so some examples from our research and from our conversations and the interviews that we had are the New Urban Mechanics, which is an office that's set up in Boston and Philadelphia right now. And then also the U.S. Departments of Health and Human Services, they have an idea lab, which is just that. It's a group that is working on really innovative ideas to some challenges that HHS is facing.
Rachel, the next model I'd like to discuss is a facilitator model for organizing innovation offices. Would you describe for us this model and perhaps highlight specific examples of it in action?
Sure. So the facilitator model is usually one person or perhaps a small group that works internally with other departments within the governmental entity and governmental employees. And the idea there is that they're going to be offering suggestions for and executing internal improvements or perhaps external projects. But these are people who are within government working with other departments to do that work. So they're facilitating conversations and projects between departments, existing departments within government. And so we see that in a few places. The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has a governor's innovation office, which is primarily concerned with improving efficiency and productivity in state government operations. So public can submit ideas to be considered by the innovation office. The focus is largely internal, so the office solicits ideas from employees and actually has an innovator awards project to state agencies that are submitting these ideas and working to execute projects. And across these ideas, over time, they have a savings of over $500 million. That includes a lot of different projects. We also see the facilitator model in Kansas City, where there is a chief innovation officer. She operates solo. You know, she doesn't have a staff, but there she's bringing together innovation teams from across the city's departments around specific initiatives. And she offers her own capacity and perspective to the teams as they do their work and has her own initiatives as well that draw on the expertise and resources of existing departments.
Rachel, what could you tell us about the advisor model for establishing innovation offices? What agencies have pursued this model and why?
Yes, sometimes. Anyway, the advisor model and the facilitator model go hand in hand. And, you know, none of these models is mutually exclusive. So there might be aspects that are built into different innovation offices, even if one predominates. But the advisor model is typically a single person who is providing expertise to different parts of government on particular projects. So rather than bringing together departments to work on projects as in the facilitator model, the advisor is essentially offering consulting services to existing departments where they need additional help. So the U.S. Department of Labor had the first chief innovation officer post at the federal level of government, and the chief innovation officer is playing a bit of a facilitation role, but is primarily an advisor. He spent the initial period of his tenure trying to demonstrate the value of his post through a variety of pilot projects, and that allowed him to get the buy-in from department heads. And so after that, now the department heads come to him with project ideas within particular their their own departments or across them. And the chief innovation officer, in this case, plays a collaboration role, but also offers his particular expertise is in IT, and so he offers that expertise to departments that come to him.
Alyssa, you point out that many innovation officers involved technology-related projects. This leads to the next model you guys identify, and it's the innovation office, the so-called technology build-out model. Would you describe what you mean by that, and perhaps you could highlight specific examples of this model in action?
Yeah, and you'll probably notice that in a lot of the examples that we're giving, technology is either at the core or ancillary to some of the work that they're doing. But we found in the technology build-out model, a number of different offices throughout the country, innovation offices throughout the country, that really have technology at the core of what they do. And so kind of an obvious example, it comes from the city of Los Angeles, where that chief innovation officer's title is actually chief innovation technology officer. And so chief technology officers have been a part of government for a while. And so the idea of a chief innovation technology officer is really marrying those two ideas and deeply integrating technology into the work of that office. They often, we find, do that through open data initiatives where technology is at the core. Also public engagement programs that utilize technology to improve kind of the pathways between government and residents, and that can go all the way up to what we're seeing coming out of the White House at the federal level, down to some of these examples at the local level.
Alyssa, what are the key characteristics of the so-called liaison model for innovation offices, and are there key examples you can provide us?
Yeah, and so Rachel had mentioned the chief innovation officer in the city of Davis when she was describing some of the external mission-focused work that innovation offices do, so thinking more about the mission. That actually gets at the core of this liaison model. And so what we see with the liaison model is that innovation offices, they reach out to designated communities outside of government. And most often we're seeing that with the business community as a way of spurring economic development and bringing kind of private sector expertise and resources into government. So a lot of the public-private partnership work is done through this liaison model in the innovation offices. And just to kind of bring up the example of the city of Davis again in California, that innovation officer is really charged with conducting outreach to the tech business community and partnering that with the University of California at Davis. And so that, again, is serving really an economic development role. But we're seeing the function of that chief innovation officer really playing a liaison between the business community and the government and even public universities.
Rachel, the final model you describe in the IBM Center report is the sponsored innovation office. What do you mean by that? And perhaps you could highlight specific examples of this model in action.
Yeah, this is a model that we typically encounter at the local level. There we see the sponsored innovation office more frequently because local governments typically don't have as extensive resources to develop innovation offices as you might see at the state or federal agency level. And so we have a couple of examples of how this works. It's a third party coming in to sponsor in the short or long term the innovation office. So sometimes this might be the elements of the business community stepping in to fund an office. In other cases, there's a philanthropic donor that is doing this work. So Bloomberg Philanthropies has been a major player in this area. And in fact, their first cohort of cities that was funded through the mayor's innovation delivery team model is just completing its round of funding. The sponsored model allows the office actually to have much greater reach geographically and is able to work on issues, shared problems over a variety of cities than those cities would be able to do on their own. This isn't, as I say, not something that we encounter so much at other levels of government, but certainly at the local level, it allows cities to experiment without a significant outlay of resources themselves.
What should be considered when deciding to build an effective innovation office? We'll explore this question and so much more when our special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors, returns.